Got to feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome and good morning. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week on all these Jethro stations and everywhere else around the country. Man, Bob, summer is blowing by, dude. We're already at the 11th or 10th of August, and it's like, where to go? Nights are a little cooler. Pool heater is getting on every morning to bring it back up after Mother Nature takes 4 or 5 degrees away every night from me. But the gas man will like that. I'm supporting the economy, so life's good. But I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, I sometimes feel that it's unfair that the two of us have to support the economy and everybody else doesn't.
There's a few others that listen. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got the same problem. Only more water to heat.
Right, yeah, yours is bigger than mine.
It really screams. That gas meter is right outside the master bedroom.
Yeah, you can hear it whizzing.
I can hear it. It's like, so if you were thinking of anything fun while you're in the bedroom,
yeah,
that takes all the fun
away. Yeah, I got an algae problem. I don't know why. It rained a couple times, and I had perfectly clear water, and I'm green all of a sudden, and now they're coaching me on. I have to get some sort of algicide with copper in it.
That works really good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So not so good on your wallet, though. I might know.
No, it's like $50 a bottle.
Yeah, just like that. Yep. And I happen to need two of them. And then when I put them in, they worked for a day, and then bam, it was back. So maybe go get a couple more.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So you can take some copper wire and throw it in your skimmer. And fight it as well.
Oh, really?
Little cheap tip. Little Dutch tip there.
There you go.
How about that?
Barbecue Bob is now Pool Bobby. So we are good.
Yeah, I was in that business a long time.
I know you were. But that's cool.
One of four industries I've been in.
Right, yeah.
And I did a boomerang. I'm right back into my original.
I understand. Hey, did you do any barbecuing this last week?
You got to figure out what you're going to do when you're 67 years old.
Oh, right, yeah. Maybe you should have already done it by then. Now you're just
on cruise
control.
You know what? I'm doing a wedding this weekend up in my hometown. And
do they still claim that? I mean, do they allow you to come in and
They're very proud of me.
And oh, my God. Well, it's a small town.
They're worried about you, actually. So they're all looking out for you.
Right, yeah.
Especially the city manager. He's waiting for that that little white, whatever. Right, I won't even say what kind of Chevy you drive, Equinox or whatever it is.
Right, yeah. Obnoxious. It's an obnoxious.
Yeah. So, but my point is, I'm doing a wedding. One of my best friend's kids getting married, and it's going to be great. I've got the pork butts are finishing right now. I'm going to go home, take them off, and wrap. They're not wrapped. I'm going to wrap them in butcher paper and put them in a cooler.
Yep.
I'm doing it a little different now. I'm wrapping them at the end, and it works out just great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save a lot of foil, too.
I still wrap at about 150 to 155, somewhere in there, and then bring them up to just a little over 200 is what I'm doing. And I do also throw them in a dry cooler and hang on to them until, because I like to pull it as close to eating time as we can.
Yep, that's why I'm bringing them all in a cooler and pull them at 195, wrap them, throw them in my five-day coolers.
Yep.
And they just keep cooking. And when that butcher paper is saturated when I pull them.
Right.
So it works great. People seem to love it. But regardless, I'm also doing my favorite chicken steak, I call it, which is a boneless, skinless thigh done a certain way. And then I'm doing, of course, Southern Mac and getting beans from the Hall Street, buns from the Hall Street Bakery.
Right.
And picking those up about 2 o'clock on my way up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be wonderful.
Note to self, brother, they need to be cut. They're not cut from
there. Yeah, I'm all prepared.
Okay.
But my point about what brought all that in was this friend of mine is Tom Eichenberg, and he's kind of an iconic citizen of that area. He used to own the Osceola Inn, or we called it the hotel, and it's this big 4 or 5 story building downtown that everybody going north from Grand Rapids or Chicago on a Friday night would go there for dinner because it was like world-class food.
Yep.
This dude knows food. And so I'm going out to see him when I'm done with the wedding. I promised him I'd see his house for 5 years, and Margo passed away years ago. And so it gives me a good excuse and a free bed.
There you go.
But I get to see him, and he's going to be cooking, he said, till midnight.
Oh.
Because he's big with the Knights of Columbus there. And he just, you know, he's kind
of
like
part
you.
Of the wedding.
He's kind of like you. No, he's kind of like you. He's always doing charity work, and he's just a great guy. So surround yourself with good people.
Right.
And we're going to do that in the next segment because we have, if you can sense the aroma in this studio, we have Thomas DeMott coming up from Two Bones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a barbecue. And there's a good story to it. And Jeff Knobloch, of course, from Trail Point. So we've got just a wonderful three segments that could turn into an all-dayer here.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Yeah. You know, you talked about your chicken steaks. We talked a little bit about that last week. But I am looking for a new marinade recipe. And I'm playing with a few things. And I want to go kind of a fruit juice profile on the chicken rather than teriyaki every time. So I just want to chat with you a little bit about that and get your thoughts on
that. Yeah, teriyaki gets old after a while.
It does. Well, you know, you serve it
people
to different
love
people.
It.
Right, yeah. You serve it to different people all the way along, but I'd like to offer another.
Yeah.
What happened is I got a referral for a wedding next summer.
Okay.
And
you want
the bride
bring some bling.
Yeah, I'm talking to the bride, and she goes, you know, do you have a website and a menu? I was like, no, we just do this as we go. Tell me what you like, and I got down to we need some chicken.
I kind of figured it out the day I'm cooking.
No, but I don't, you know, we don't publish a menu anywhere or have a website for the catering side. So the bottom line was I got down to chicken talking to her. And I said, you know, thighs are perfect. They're moist and they cook up great. And I said, well, I usually do them teriyaki. And the immediate response was, oh, I hate teriyaki. So then I'm like, okay, well, we can do some other flavor. And her question then was, what flavors? Right? So now, but
and
it made me think.
And then you started.
Yeah, no, it made me think. I immediately went to like a Hawaiian, right? It's got some pineapple in it and maybe a little coconut flavor or something like that. But anyway, at the end of the day, I thought about it. It's like, I got to get out of that rut, right?
Well, in Hawaii, personally speaking, it was always teriyaki.
Right, so, right.
I couldn't advise you of something that's really Hawaiian for chicken.
Well, and she
I'm
wasn't
sure
Hawaiian.
Hawaiians were, I'm sure they would tend to disagree now. They've probably come up with some great things. But I would tell you from, again, personal experience, do your marinade with orange juice. It's very acidic, and it tends to be a little more flexible. You can bring it in a lot of different directions, but especially I'm a huge fan of Mexican food, and so I might marinate it in orange juice and then just go with my secret, cheap, easy way out, which is tahini. I mean, tahini.
Not so secret anymore.
Well, you even use it now.
Right.
So it's wonderful. It's got a citric profile. It's got a bit of zing to it. It's got a little pep, but it's not overbearing. It won't hurt anybody.
Right.
And every time I use it, people just love it.
Yep. Yep.
They even make a version of it to rim your glass for a margarita.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's really nice.
So would I need to worry about the acidicness of the orange juice cooking the chicken? I mean,
nope.
I don't need to worry about that.
I would do 6 hours max.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's why. Yeah.
And even if it does cook it a little bit, you're going to cook it anyway. You'll never see it.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to like totally cook the chicken.
Right.
It's not like ceviche or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, ceviche chicken. I wouldn't recommend that. But
tastes just like fish.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Sponsored by Charmin. Yeah. But anyway, coming up next,
Mr. Whipple preferred.
Right, yeah. Let's get off the catering gig and let's get on the beer and food train that some professionals that do this for a living are with us. Jeff and Thomas are here, and they're going to, I'm assuming he walked in with a case of beer, so I'm assuming we're going to do a little taste testing.
I said it could turn into an all-dayer.
That's right. And then there was a cooler full of food that's making the studio smell great. So, you know what? buckle up. Here we go. When beer and food shows up, the show usually takes a turn, but it should be fun. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.